So we'll record this so I can get counseling afterwards for things I said that maybe I shouldn't. Okay, we'll begin with the responsive reading of Psalm 62. I have seen you in the sanctuary,
and beheld your power and your glory.
Because your love is better than life,
my lips will glorify you.
I will praise you as long as I live,
and in your name I will lift up my hands.
My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods.
With singing lips my mouth will praise you.
On my bed I remember you.
I think of you through the watches of the night.
Because you are my help,
I sing in the shadow of your wings. Okay.
We'll pray. Dear Lord, open our hearts to know your power, which transcends the mightiest power on earth. Open our hearts to know your glory in the face of Jesus. Open our hearts to know your name, which is love. Enable us to rest in the shadow of your wings, trusting in your continual help. Then open our mouths to sing your praises. Amen. In the introduction part, I thought what I would do is cover a couple things. One is, in the teacher's guide, they really didn't give an objective for the course. It was just, I don't know if it was a survey course, and so I tried to tie it together by going to the dictionary. And because a couple times I wrote down hymnology, and then I noticed, oh, it's hymnody, so what is it? Is there a difference? And if you look up hymnody in Webster's dictionary, there's three, I don't know if it's an and or a, I think it's an or, but hymnody can be hymn singing, it can be hymn writing, and then, or the hymns of a time, place, or church. So from that, I thought the objectives for this course should be that we sing some hymns in the class.
Oh, gee, not with us few. She'd have to sing a solo.
Well, I'll sing, and then you guys will be relieved and say, you know, then you won't feel bad either, because if he can sing that bad.
Yeah. You said we're going to do singing on that?
Yes, that's why.
And these ladies shouldn't be afraid to sing, because in the Psalms, the psalmist says, sing with a joyful noise.
That's right.
Not on pitch or in four-part harmony, but sing with a joyful
full noise. That's right.
And if you can do that, the door's open.
Right, it didn't say joyful harmony, did it? Right. And then I thought it would be kind of fun to do a little challenge for the course to not write a whole hymn. But maybe I'm not going to grade it, okay? It won't be graded or anything. And if you actually do it, then you don't have to put your name on it, and we can maybe play it, sing it at the end of the course. And what I was thinking would be an easy way to do it is pick a hymn that's already in the hymnal, or it can be in the blue hymnal, that's special to you, and then think about writing a verse to go with that hymn that makes that hymn special to you. I mean, the hymn's already special to you, but maybe there's, and I think that's what a lot of these hymns are. If you look at how big our hymnal is, There's only 600 hymns in this one. And then you add the supplement, and we're only up to 700 some odd hymns. And when I was studying for the course, there was some guy, I think back in the 1890s, that there was a committee that did a thorough study of all the hymns at that time to kind of figure, you know, to grade them and decide which ones are appropriate and stuff like that. How many hymns do you think they looked at?
Probably a couple thousand.
Yeah. 400,000 hymns.
Oh, wow.
You know, so if you sang all the hymns that have been written, you wouldn't live long enough, I don't think, even if you only sang them once. But there's a reason we have certain hymns in the Lutheran hymnal, and why we end up having supplements, and I don't know what color the next hymnal will be, but I think it's in about 10 years or something we get another hymnal. So, but I think that would be kind of fun. I try to challenge myself. It can be something. I started to say when I was in college, one of my classmates was telling me, yeah, my mom wrote two extra verses to Amazing Grace, and that the family sang them, and they really liked them. And yet when I took a music appreciation course at Northwestern, one of the things that Dr. Lehman said was, Bach would roll over in his grave if you ever sang Amazing Grace in a Lutheran church. And so I think, I don't remember what hymn number that is in our new hymnal, but it's in there.
It's in there.
And so, but there's sometimes there's things about hymns that we like or don't like, and I think what some of the things that they don't like about Amazing Grace is it never mentions Christ's name. And then there's a little bit, that hour I first believed, and I'm like, okay, is that... Well, but there was a point we first believed in baptism or whatever, but it's still, you tie it to something that we want to be careful about. And then finally, the hymns of a place, a time, place, or church, as another definition for hymnody. And sure enough, the class is called Sing to the Lord, a Study of Lutheran Hymnody. So that gives us a... So that's what we'd like to look at. If you pick up the first page here, the singleton sheet, it has basically which lessons we're going to have. And this one, Sing Praises to God. Lesson 2, Hymns of the Early Church. If you want to write dates down or something, today, of course, is the 7th. On the 14th, we'll do lesson number 2. On the 21st, there will be no class because the confirmants will be examined in the church. So then the 28th will be lesson number 3. And then the next ones will be in May. Will be the 5 Sundays in May for the, and I'm trying to think. No, the last one is the 26th. So you go backwards. This lesson 7 is the 26th. Line 7. The 19th will be lesson 6. The 12th will be lesson 5. And the 5th will be lesson 4 in May. So that would be the schedule. The optional lesson, Pastor Stray talked about perhaps doing one around Ascension Sunday on the supplement. So he may do a special one there that we can. Part of it was how much what enthusiasm level was for this class. I don't know. He said, I mean, with me, but I don't know. Anyway. In preparing for this class, I read this book that was recommended in a teacher's guide. So if you're interested, and it's an introduction to Christian hymnology. So when I looked up the definition of hymnology, it could be the study of hymns or hymnody. So it's kind of the same thing, only different. So it's just... But this book is very interesting. It isn't from, doesn't appear to be from a Lutheran point of view. It does cover a lot of Luther's songs, but it goes through all the, basically the history of how hymns were written, how they came about. I think one of the things that I want you to come out of the class is when you see a hymn, maybe that you've sung before, that there's something because maybe you know a little bit more about who wrote the hymn or the circumstances under which the hymn was written, that it helps you understand those words a little better and maybe how they can apply to you. So we covered, this is, again, I recommend this. There's another book written by Carl Schalk that they recommend, listed in the back. I don't know the name, but Carl Schalk seems to cover all the same things. And he is, I believe, a Missouri Synod pastor and musician. And we have several of his works in our hymnal. Yes.
Is it possible to turn the background music off?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
Because it's hard to hear. Thank you.
Usually I'm loud enough, I overwhelm everybody, but sorry about that. Anyway. Okay. Let me hand it out now. The other part of the course, when you look on the back of this sheet, there's a timeline. And so we'll be following. You want to hang on to this timeline. I try to bring it every time. And we might add different marks to the timeline. As I get a little more sophisticated, I can bring my tablet computer and plug it into here and show us some stuff and make things go a little faster. Anyway, so we'll be looking through the different periods of hymn writing and things that happened in the Lutheran Church and also how they affected what happened to, what eventually happened to Lutheranism in the United States too. Okay, any questions as we go ahead to proceed? Okay. A good resource, and I think they have it in the library here, is the Christian Worship Handbook. And what's really nice about this is they'll go through, and they'll take a hymn, they'll have in some cases, the original language it was written in, if it was written in Dutch or German or whatever, the original language, when there's been changes to certain verses, and then a little bit of history about that particular hymn. And then you go to the back, and then it has biographical information on both the hymn writers and the writers of the text and the composers of the tunes.
What is the name of that book?
It's called the Christian Worship Handbook. Available from Northwestern Publishing House for about $55 with counting shipping and handling and stuff like that. Forget what, I think that's what I paid for. And they get it out to you in about a week. It's really nice. What I thought I'd do during this course is I'll throw out little quizzes. Just kind of guess type thing. But to kind of cross lines and stuff like, because, sometimes as a student, you learn more by trying to do something as a puzzle. You do it, and you get it wrong, and then you see what you do. Oh, yeah, okay. And so there's no grade, there's no pressure. And so we could ask things like, what other hymns in the hymnal were written by Francis Scott Key, the author of the Star-Spangled Banner, or what was the hymn that one of the composers was reciting on his deathbed, though his final words were part of the words of his hymn? And, which hymn was written as kind of a memorial to two Lutherans who were burned at the stake in Brussels? I mean, there's all these just little things. And so sometimes you see these hymns and you're like, why are the words worded that way? Or especially under some of the circumstances, when things were really bad, really horrible, people are dying from the plague, your village is under attack, and what hymn do you write? Now thank we all our God. So, we're seeing the minds and thoughts of other Christians. Also, a good part of this, another really nice section in here lists all the Bible, the sections of the Bible that the author of the hymn indicated that they were quoting when they wrote their hymn. Some of the hymn, you know, then the old, what I thought was nice in the old Lutheran hymnal, the blue hymnal, at the top on the right side, it said this hymn was written for, you know, 1 Timothy 3:16 or whatever like that. Well, you know, I talked to Pastor Stray about it. He goes, well, but the problem is, and then what this book pointed out, here's some of these hymns where every stanza was written for a different section of the Bible. But the good part is that people are driven to the Bible for the words of their hymns too. So that we make sure that our hymn texts are scriptural.
The New Missouri hymnal has that. I've only been in Wisconsin for a couple years.
But it is just one.
Well, they actually, I think they have more than one if it's
more than
one. But it is very nice.
I haven't seen the new Lutheran Book of Worship.
I didn't even realize that was available, because in here I'm like, man, I wish it was in here.
So this is it's really nice. I like that one. I hope I can get through all this. So here's a question. After all that, we're 25 minutes in the course. We're ready to ask the first question. Why do we sing hymns in church?
Praise. A form of praise.
Okay.
I
was really curious to see what was said, because... And did I write down the answer that they gave? Okay, the answer that they said in the teacher's guide was praise. So people, you might get, but that's probably the answer that you get. But, you know, I kind of squirmed with that. And so what I'd like to do is open and look at hymn 5. Open up 540. I'm going to go around and give you a hymn number to look up. Look up hymn 576. Hymn 566. Hymn 234. Hymn 293. Hymn 248.
Well, I guess my answer to that first question is that, and I can't tell you where the scripture is, it says, lift our voice unto the Lord. Someplace it says that we're supposed to lift our voice up to the Lord. And isn't that singing, or is that praying? And isn't singing praying?
It could be both.
I think they gave that first question a short shrift. And so I think I spent as much time on looking at this first question and thinking about it as this whole course will take. Because I think if you look, and so I wanted to capture in one or two words. So why do we sing? What's the first hymn? What's 576 say?
Title of it?
Yeah, even just the title, or even one line from it.
Just read the title.
Spread's mighty word.
Okay. Spread God's word. And you say, yeah, but we're all, you know, but we're in the church and we don't know how many visitors are in there or people that come by. When we sing, we're spreading God's word, because these hymns are based on God's word. It's a way of spreading it. Okay, the next one, hymn 566.
We're all on one mission. So
okay.
We're all together.
So it's, I thought it, to show our unity, to unify ourselves, to you know, it's kind of a battle cry of working together, right? When we sing, we're singing, you know, It's praise, but it's also, we're encouraging each other to do things, aren't we? When you look at hymn 234, what is that one?
Praise to the Lord the Almighty.
Okay. It is praise. When you look at hymn 293.
Well, it says several different things. It says that the word is our great heritage, and that it spreads its light from age to age. I don't know what word to use for this.
Okay, there's another hymn.
Words endure, I don't know.
There's another hymn, okay, there's another hymn I put in this section that I didn't have you look up, which was hymn 514, Lord, help us ever to retain. So when we're saying God's word is our great heritage, Lord, help us, we want to preserve God's word in our worship, right? So Lord, help us, you've given us this gift. Help us to preserve. We're asking God, and we're looking to preserve it. And then, Pastor, on 248.
Glorify God.
Okay. To glorify. And that hymn is, in our music, God is glorified, where we use not only voices, but it tells us to use, and the last verse, I think it tells us our instruments, everything that we have. So, to glorify.
Getting back to the 293, where it's God's word is our great heritage, we have, especially in our Lutheran church, a heritage of music and singing. Not just singing, but music.
Right.
In general. And we want to preserve that. We want to carry that on.
So, right. Yeah, so it's preserving not only the music, but the Word of God in our music, and the Word of God in our sermons, our whole worship experience. Okay, let's go through and look at some more. Okay. We'll look at PM 336. Okay, 336, and then 588, then 302.
I think too, if with a hymn, if you had the whole service was just talking, it could get, I'm going to say boring, I don't necessarily mean, but the music gives you a chance to participate more
right.
too, and it breaks it up into...
Well, the other thing is, like that other textbook that is non-Lutheran pointed out, like Luther said, having the singing helps us remember. It's just like in the Hebrews, they do the chiasm, and you say a topic, and then you say the same thing, only different, and just say it in a different way. By making those extra connections in your brain, it helps you to remember. And so that's what the value and beauty of music is. I hate to say this, but it did say that years from now, there's a chance you'll remember a hymn more than the pastor's sermon. But a pastor's sermon can help you kind of, why you remember that hymn.
Okay. I forgot what hymn you told me. You told her 356 or 336, and then
you have 588. The next one's 302, 385, of 493. Yeah, sometimes it's nice to go through the words of these hymns when you're not singing them, because if you're like me, sometimes you're trying to stay on key or say the right thing.
My mother, she had cancer in her spine, and she couldn't do anything but lay in bed, basically. And so she said she read through the whole hymnal, and she said she got so much help out of it just by the words in the hymns. And like you said, she wasn't
I forgot to give you a piano player, I realize. My group is discussing things right now.
Oh, okay.
Are there any piano players?
Sort of, maybe.
The Reverend? Well, I'll make sure you have one. I'll make sure you have one next time.
Yeah, okay.
Good morning, all.
Good morning.
But anyway, she said they meant more to her reading them. Because, like you said, you're trying to think of it, him and...
Well, and the other thing, when you're reading them, you hear the melody in your head, too. So that helps the reinforcement. Okay, so...
And I want to go back to what you said about, you know, you remember. As a child, I recall the songs, and I always, it brings me to tears to see our children get up in church and sing by memory. And those songs will stick to those children forever.
Right.
And that is such a testimony to your heart to keep you steadfast in the Word, because those words stick with you in that melody. Like you said, sometimes, I mean, I can't even tell you what Pastor preached the last time he preached, but I can remember the hymns when he preaches again. I was, oh, yeah. But, you know, the music, you do recall, our memory sticks to melody. Right. We do stick to song.
I want to. Hopefully, we'll make it to question two before the class is done. But I enjoy the discussion. And you're right. And that's why I'm teaching the class, because I went to a Lutheran grade school, and today I think of the songs that we sang at the end of class, or I, you know, it gets me in trouble because it was the Lutheran hymnal, and even sometimes I'm using the red hymnal. Oops, I'm singing blue hymnal words.
Yeah. See, that our youth, it sticks with us. And as much as I love the liturgy and the hymns, what I knew as a child always sticks with me. And like you say, and I do love the modernization, and I want to move on, and I don't want to be old and be the same as in the day. But it does still stick with you, you know. And sometimes I still say the old words. But nobody hears me.
Right. Okay, so we were... Okay, hymn 336. What is that hymn?
Come unto me, ye weary.
Sorry. Okay, come unto me, ye weary, and... What are the next words in that line, in the first line? Come unto me, ye weary.
I will give you rest.
And I will give you rest.
I'm sorry, I have to get new glasses.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right. Don't worry about it. I had a raspy voice. So when we come to church, we're looking for many times for rest, peace of soul, and we sing songs like that, and it gives us rest because of the assurance of a loving Savior, doesn't it? How about 588?
Abide with me. So we want him to stay with me.
Look at, and I think it's what about verse 8? It's a second to the last verse. Could you read that, please?
I fear no foe with thee at hand to blast. Ills have no weight, and tears no bitterness. Where is death sting? Where great thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me.
Okay. So this song, Abide With Me, is normally sung when?
Evening service
at the end of the service, right? But it points out, it's a song of comfort. And that's if for someone on their deathbed, it gives us great comfort. So to be comforted is one other thing that we sing hymns. Okay, hymn number 302.
Lord, to you I make confession.
Okay. So when we sing, sometimes we sing to
confess.
Confess.
I have sinned and gone astray.
This is what I've. And then for hymn number 385.
Well, I was thinking it was confession, but now that she said that, I'm thinking that, and of course at the top it says justification, but I don't know.
Okay, well, read the title of the hymn, because not everybody knows the title.
Sinners though I be.
So,
well, it still could be confession.
It can be confession, it can be acknowledgement that I'm a sinner, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's confession.
Yeah, it's
acknowledgement, yeah.
No, I think that's one of the M's with the E, in, the ments with the E's in front of it. Judgment isn't, right? Okay, and then this next hymn, I think, is has the scariest titles of any hymn.
It's Forgive Our Sins as We Forgive.
Right. It's to ask for strength to forgive, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it goes back to the Lord's Prayer, doesn't it?
Right, yeah.
Forgiveness comes as we forgive.
Right. Which, when we're not... We're not always very in a very forgiveful nature, are we? Because of our old sinful Adam.
Well, at the end, it's only a two-line hymn. But the second line of the first verse says, "But you alone can grant us grace to live the words we say."
Yeah. So it's right. So
what number was that?
493.
Right. And if it wasn't for that second verse, we'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
That's... I was actually hoping some of these would be. Okay, let's look at, you know, I'm going to cheat because I know everybody's names, but I go brain dead here. Okay. Kathleen, could you look up hymn 310, please? And what there's a verse especially that I want you to look at. Well, maybe we can all look up 310. This is one of my favorite hymns. And it used to be, it used to be 305 in the Lutheran, you know. It changed numbers, but just a little.
They really changed the numbers.
Yeah, and I was like, why'd they do that? But it used to be, This hymn, and those have been long time with St. Mark's members, this hymn was played every communion Sunday.
How boring.
You know,
I love this hymn, and when we sing it, I love it. But I don't want potatoes every time I eat.
The church I previously went to, they sang "Just As I Am Without One Plea."
There you go.
Every communion. It was the only one they ever sang.
Well, I like that hymn too.
I don't want to sing, but I felt kind of the same way.
Yeah.
There's so many other good ones too.
Or it's almost like it starts not having. It doesn't have any meaning.
Yeah, it's too rote.
But you know, I guess what I find is sometimes. It's interesting, and that's why you have discussions about hymnals and stuff. Mm-hmm. Because when we stopped singing it, I started feeling like, well, we're just using, Carol say this, we're using it as a sing-along catch-up period to sing a bunch of these other hymns that we never get to sing. And then we never come back and sing a communion hymn for a long time during communion. But what I found... The workaround was in preparing to go to the Lord's Supper, remembering these verses. And so the verses like, "Unworthy though I am, O Savior, because I have a sinful heart, yet you, your Lamb, will banish never for, nor will your faithfulness depart." It's a little bit different than the Lutheran, the Blue Book. And then when you're up there, and realize What higher gift can we inherit? It is face, bond, and solid base. It is the strength of heart and spirit, the covenant of hope and grace. This feast is manna, wealth abounding, unto the poor, to weak ones power, to angels joy, to hell confounding, in life for me and death's dark hour. With you, Lord, I am now united. I live in you and you in me. No sorrow fills my soul delighted. It finds its peace in Calvary. So having kind of those things, you're right, if you sing it, go back to singing it every time, then it's nice to have the variety. But sometimes it helps, you know, by remembering those verses, it gives you kind of an added...
What I used to do when I was still in full-time ministry is I kept a log of every service and the hymns that I chose or sang. And especially with communion, there aren't that many communion hymns,
right.
But there would be a different one before I'd start repeating. And then on some of these, like this one's got 15 verses.
Right, so it works for a big congregation.
It works for a big congregation, but for a small congregation, right. Maybe you only get through four. And yeah, so then I would keep track of, okay, we sang the first four verses, but maybe next time we'd sing verses 5-8.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, that's...
And then just go on that way. And some hymns, naturally, you're going to sing, like in Christmas time, I don't think that Christmas come by, we don't sing Silent Night somewhere, somehow, some place, right? There's always Silent Night someplace. Okay, but you want to sing some of the other ones, too. Now, I have to admit that there are some of the hymns in here that I probably didn't sing.
They were too difficult, and I go home and complain to you.
They were hard to sing.
Well, and part of singing hymns is the congregation being able to sing them. If you can't sing them...
Right.
We used to do the hymn of the month, and every Sunday there'd be one hymn that we would sing every Sunday.
For four weeks,
and then we learned those.
Right.
And I learned a lot of hymns that way because we did the hymn of the month and we would sing it till we knew it, and I liked that.
I think Pastor Stray has the hymn of the season. In fact, I'll give these out before you go, but this, they already have in advance the hymns that are going to be sung, so you can look at them and see, and this is for the whole course, all the weeks in this course, so you'll know. Which brings up another interesting point. How many times have you been in church and you kind of feel a certain way, or something's bothering you, something's going on at home, and it just seems like, you know, the pastor's message, you know, did somebody tell him? You know, it's like, you know, it's hard, or whatever, or I needed that hymn, or whatever. And yet, 7 weeks out, or 12, actually, this is the one, I think they go 12 months in advance, what the sermon topic's going to be and everything else. So it's not like the pastor
got an evil.
Okay, well, let's look at, so what I thought is, another thing is to build us up. You know, we like the word to be edified. That's a good old Lutheran word, right? An edifice is just a plain old building. To be edified is to be built up. So you come out, you have hymns that make you feel good that you're a Christian because you know that what has been done for you on your behalf, what Christ has done for you. Okay, let's look at another one. 283. Maybe I'll just, I think we're going to run out of time here.
But I think this was good because my first thought was praise, but you're showing all these other things that hymns do.
Right, and I don't think we really...
think about all of them.
Right, and
you don't. You read the title of the hymn, but then it doesn't always sink into me of what.
Yeah, I think we get in the trap of, we sing hymns in church to sound good, right? I mean, we want to make it, or to, you know, make us, I mean, I think sometimes, we don't sing hymns in church so that, to be entertained, right. To show off, or to get a break in the action, right?
That's why we don't have the drums and the band and the people up in the front of the church, because they're not here to entertain us.
Right. That's...
And it's the same way with the little kids when they sing in their front. They kind of show off sometimes and...
Oh, yeah. Hi, Mommy.
And the parents are paying attention to the kids and maybe not what they're saying. So I think it's good to have them because they are very cute. You want to
Yeah, I want to find out what dress the kid
is. Yeah. Right.
Okay, let's see. Well, maybe...
He stands up there and yawns.
Right.
Okay, well, let's see. So, Carolyn?
283?
Oh, yeah, 283.
Speak, O Savior, I am listening.
So, why am I singing in that case?
Well, we're talking to God.
Right, you're talking to listen to what God has to...
God speaks to us.
Yeah.
Well, a whole church service is God speaking to us and our response. Mm-hmm. So it's a back and forth, and so... In our hymns and in the liturgy, the liturgical parts that we sing, it's a back and forth, but it's a conversation with God, not always spoken, but sung. And He hears, and we listen. And we listen, and He speaks. So it's a whole... Now, and you go to some churches, even a lot of Christian churches, and there's a whole lot of singing of just songs, but... And then there's a prayer, maybe no scripture readings. Somebody says some of the sermon or whatever the sermon is going to be, and then they go home. And I've gone to some of those already, and it just leaves you empty because there wasn't that back and forth with God.
No.
Now, maybe I'm just old school. No. That's the way I was brought up.
Yes, we know you are.
But you know, the liturgy, a lot of churches that don't have liturgy, they don't understand it. You know, why we do it. And my sister-in-law came to church with me a couple times, and she said, I've never been to a church where you stand up and sit down so much. That's what her comment was. Well, I tried to explain, you know, like when the gospel, we stand because Jesus' words, and we're respecting, you know. But...
Yeah, but the older I get, the more I don't want to
stand.
There are times when it's like, okay, I'm sitting down, I don't care what you do.
But you're right, Pastor. A lot of times they don't even hear God's word. It's most of the singing and somebody kind of just off the cuff.
Well, I always tell this. Years ago, when our son-in-law and our daughter came to church, and of course they like to listen to Dad, and Jim came out and he just could not believe that the first thing that we got absolution of our sins, first thing out of the hat. Think about it.
Oh, because he should have done something first, right?
That's what we do in our church. We are absolved of our sin, and we are told that now we are free to worship and listen because we are forgiven. Mm-hmm. And he was like astounded to think, my word, I'm forgiven. And I thought, well, yeah.
But it's a good thing he heard that, because some people might not even hear it.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but that's the first thing we do.
I know.
And I like that. Because then we're open to be listening and praising the Lord after that.
Let's go through a couple more. I think I don't think we're going to get to question two, because I still have more to.
But this is interesting.
Yeah. Well, good. I want you to come out of this class having enjoyed it and felt like you got something out of it. And I once taught a class on computer stuff for like a 1 hour class that was supposed to be on repairing stuff, and there were some of the computer science instructors in there, and they said, well, why did I come to this class? I didn't learn anything. And I said, well, it was for the other people that don't know anything. Anyway, so let's look at a hymn like 62, Oh, Kitty, would you like to look at hymn 62? And then Mary, would you look at hymn 265? And then Pastor, look at hymn 614. And then Kathleen, do you want to look up hymn 224? And then Carolyn, 579. Okay, what's hymn 62?
Joy to the World.
Okay, what are we doing when we're singing Joy to the World?
Expressing our joy.
We're
telling that the Lord has come.
Right. I think we're celebrating the Lord's coming, isn't it? So in our hymns, we celebrate the same, and then hymn 265, what are we celebrating?
I'm not there. Just
oh, okay.
The Feast of Victory, Communion.
We're celebrating Communion, and we're celebrating the Resurrection, Christ's body. And what are we doing in hymn 614, Pastor?
Singing to the Lord of Harvest.
Okay, we are.
We're singing. We're says singing songs of love and praise.
Right.
With a joyful heart.
Right. Oh, I was going to go. I'm going for giving thanks.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's a Thanksgiving. It's a Thanksgiving. Right. So it's a Thanksgiving. We're singing with Thanksgiving.
Right.
And then, what are we doing in hymn? What is hymn 224?
Do you have it, Kathleen? Oh, you mean
224. 224, I'm sorry. I was looking this. Oh, okay. I think I'm going to send this stuff back to the guys at Northwestern and say, I think you ought to do a little bit more of this.
Yeah, this is great.
Thank you.
And we're singing
To
God because He is present.
Okay, the title of that hymn is?
God Himself is Present.
God Himself is Present. That's in the beginning of the, well, it used to be way down in the beginning of the hymnal. I think it was, wasn't it? It used to be hymn 4 or something like that.
The opening service hymns were at the beginning.
Right.
1, 2, 3, 4. And I think that's where it was, 3 or 4.
Yeah. And so, but when we're singing that song, when we're saying God Himself is present, what are we doing with that song? Anyway, you don't have to answer, Kathleen. I'm not dumbing this, but this is a general response. What are the opening service songs really telling us to do?
Well, God is with us in church.
Right. And so, how should we behave?
With humility.
As if God's present, right? So we are using the hymn to prepare ourselves for worship, aren't we? Mm-hmm. It's to prepare our hearts and minds for what is to come, for this service where we're going to worship the Lord. Hymn 579.
Lift high the cross.
Lift high the cross. And what are we, when we lift high the cross, what are we doing?
Evangelizing.
Okay, evangelizing. That was kind of the, okay. What I thought the word, a good word to do, to summarize that, to proclaim.
Proclaim
God's glory. We're shouting it out. Okay, we're almost.
You did do a lot of work on this.
Yeah, it took a while. Oops, okay. Hymn 512. Kitty, would you like to look up hymn 512?
It's, let children hear the mighty deeds.
Okay, so when we sing a song like that in church, what are we doing? We're teaching, right? Our presence with our children, we not only are there to hear God's word. We want to teach our children by our presence and what we say. We want to hear them. Hear. We want them to hear us singing that we're supposed to be teaching them. And then hymn 504, we're just about out of time. It's titled Bless Loved Ones, Holy Father. In our hymn, we're seeking. We seek blessing from the Lord. That's another thing we do with our hymn. And then after I did all this and printed it up, made copies, I thought, you know, our hymns not only, besides doing all these things, they're to encourage ourselves, our fellow Christian, to motivate us. When we sing these, you know, when we sing these hymns, they give us motivation. So it's, yes, we praise the Lord in our hymns, but there's so much more that's there for us in these hymns. Okay,
now I'm thinking while you're saying this, one of my thieves, the modern families don't discipline their children in church the way we used to. And I don't mean that I was mean to them or anything, but when they could read, they needed to participate.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed to sing, and they needed to say the liturgy. And parents of children who are of reading age are still letting them play around in church. And when is the magic day that they begin to participate in the church service?
Yeah. Well, one thing that's nice that St. Mark's does is they teach the kids the liturgy. So the kids even knew the liturgy before the adults did, which was...
But they don't always do it. You know,
get the children's bulletin and do the puzzle.
When do they teach them? I'm talking not children that go to Christian day school.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not all the children that come to church are Christian day school children.
Right.
Right.
And so, when is the magic day that the parents teach the children to participate and learn the stuff? Because otherwise, it's not going to stick with them.
Right. Well, I think you got the point. When the kids can read, then they... And even if you teach kids to sing, kids...
Even
before they can read, I can remember... I wasn't always sitting with our family because I was up in choir and preaching or whatever. But Mary would hold our kids in the lap. They couldn't read. But
I was showing them.
Right.
As she's singing, she's doing with her finger.
Yeah, well, that's how we did the
book. You know, and even with the liturgy, you open that book to the liturgical
page. My kids never went to nursery. They never got to color. They never had food.
You got to get to the parents. You know, St. Mark's can do everything they can with the children, but it's the parents that need to get.
Teach them that? How do we teach the parents?
I don't know. I'm like,
there was a couple that used to go here, and they had two, and then they had a third, and they'd always sit in the back, and the kids were always
playing around.
Then if they got a little too noisy, she'd take them out in the narthex and let them run around. Well, you know, the next time they're going to act up too, because then they get to go out and run around.
Yeah.
And I thought, and she didn't make them sit on her lap in the, you know, on one of the chairs.
Oh yeah, every time a sermon comes, I can tell you which kids are going to get up and have to go to the bathroom. And the mother lets them.
Yeah.
It's like, when is the magic moment that they learn?
Well, you know what? I don't think those parents are
going to
learn.
So. Well, that's
it. I don't think that moment's ever going to come with those parents.
Well, maybe it's for us that have raised kids to help those younger parents to just like...
They don't want to hear what we have to say.
Oh, yeah, well...
We can't tell them what to do.
what I did to my children that only happened maybe once or twice that I had to do is to each one... I would take them out and paddle them.
Oh yeah.
And and tell them you dare not make a whimper.
That's right.
And I took them back and tears streaming down their face, but no noise.
That's right, me too.
Okay. And a few times
we're mean parents.
Okay, well, I have to.
A few times.
But our kids go to church, don't they? Yeah. I want to say another thing before we leave. Because I'm a businesswoman and I believe in advertising, you need a A-frame board out here by this door to say that this class is here, because really people in the church really don't know what's going on behind this door and that they can come in this door.
Oh, okay. Well, that
it is a dead zone. You have to make it alive, and you have to open the door and have people standing out there and
have
little
things.
Well, you know, maybe I'd have to. I'll plug this in over there, put it out, and.
Well, actually, yeah, because when I came out, the door was closed, and I'm like, are we really having class
today? Oh, yeah, I see.
Right,
yeah.
Open doors.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I go through a lot of effort when Arlene shows up.
And, I'm sorry, but Pastor and I won't be here next week, need to get 4 or 5 more.
I need to.
Because I won't either. I want to make sure you know it's just because I'm going to be out of town. It's not.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, but thank you.
You really need to advertise. I'm a great proponent
of that.
You want
things back?
Yes, please. If you've got.
Oh, I'll be here next week.
I was going to say, but wait till I'm back before we go over these.
Oh, yeah, I will.
I'd love to hear what everybody's are.
Hopefully, see, there's
anonymously or whatever.
The Missouri Synod has a website that says the 24 most loved hymns by Lutherans or something like that, or hymns, the 24 hymns Lutherans most love to sing. And I always thought it'd just be kind of fun to see if we're even close to that and what it is that we like to. And it's hard. You find it's really hard to pick only 5, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so I thought one of the things to think about is when they have my funeral there someday, what are the songs do I want played that I like that will tell, especially my heathen friends, what I believed and.
Well, you know, it's funny because just yesterday I was just telling some friends, because a few years ago I had some serious health things, and so I wasn't at St. Mark's at the time, but I met with my pastor because I had like 20 hymns I wanted at my funeral, and we, you know, kind of planned my funeral. And I said, well, you know, I really want this to be a hymn fest. And I said, I'd like about 20. And he said, well, the normal service has 3 or 4. I'll let you have 6.
Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you.
God bless you for coming. I apologize that we didn't play any hymns along because you didn't have
them.